to Scotty's General Construction.
My name is David Spellman. I'm here on behalf of Bank of New York. I'm here with my colleague, Mr. Ron Beard. We'd like to reserve 5 minutes.
5 minutes? Okay.
The trial court committed clear prejudicial error when it granted the 12B6 dismissal of Bank of New York's declaratory complaint. The complaint sought a declaration that the bank's mortgage was prior to Scotty's lien. There are three basic principles at issue in this appeal. First is priority. Second is the notice and opportunity to be heard. And third, the maxim, the mortgage follows the note, and the associated maxim that priority is not lost when a mortgage is transferred.
Let me ask you this, and to focus your argument, because again, we discussed this case yesterday afternoon. The argument below, as I understand from reading the record, was that there was a failure to join MERS in the foreclosure action, and that that has consequences. The arguments with respect to Bank of New York, I don't find in the record below. So my question is, why should we consider arguments that were not advanced and preserved below?
The gist of the argument was asserted below, and
the gist of what argument?
The gist of the argument that there was no notice to MERS as grantee of the mortgage, and that Bank of New York was and is the mortgage note holder. MERS is a common agent that acts on behalf of whoever holds the note. In the declaratory complaint, Bank of New York asserted that it holds the note and that MERS was acting as its agent. And therefore, Bank of New York, through its designated agent, was entitled to notice of the lawsuit and to be joined if someone were going to assert priority over the lien.
What document creates this principal-agent relationship that you've just described?
The principal-agent relationship between MERS and the note holder is created through the deed of trust mortgage. The deed of trust mortgage has a...
So all of the authority of MERS with respect to its principal can be found within the four corners of the deed of trust?
No, probably not.
Where else would one need to look to determine that?
One would probably have to look at whatever the MERS membership agreement is. And that's not in the record.
Recorded document anywhere?
I don't believe so. The recorded document, however, is a uniform instrument.
What was that in front of the trial court?
The deed of trust was in front of the trial court.
No, the document, the MERS, whatever you called it, membership agreement, whatever the term was.
The membership agreement was not before the trial court.
So how would the trial court have known to rely on that to declare the judgment that you asked it to declare if you didn't take the time to inform the trial court of that option?
The procedural status was a 12B6 motion where any hypothetical fact in support of the complaint is construed in favor of the non-moving party.
Then will I find a pleading that references that document urging the court to consider its contents as a hypothetical fact?
In fact, the 12B6 motion attaches testimony before Congress by a MERS speaking agent that talks about the common agency principle, the fact that MERS acts on behalf of each successive note holder, etc. So in other words, the moving party set up this defense.
Let me ask you a question about that. Each acts as the agent for each successive note holder. How does that work if the successive note holder isn't a party to the original MERS agreement?
There would be two categories.
Go ahead and answer the question.
One category would be note holders who are MERS members, and the other category would be persons who are not MERS members. Persons who are not MERS members do not designate MERS as its statutory agent. In this case, Bank of New York and a servicing agent, Wells Fargo, are MERS members, therefore there is the designation of the agency.
Okay, you have your rebuttal time.
May it please the court, I'm Brittany Pierce here for respondent Scotty's General Construction. I'd like to walk through this matter from the beginning to show why this court should be affirming the trial court.
Let me ask you the same question I asked your co-counsel or your partner in the previous case. This, again, appears to be a situation where the deed of trust was recorded in June of 2005. Your construction, your mechanics and materials lien didn't arise until May of 2007. Record priority would appear to have been in that deed of trust. Why are you prior to that deed of trust?
I agree. That is first in time. But that is not the end of the inquiry for priority. Priority commonly is adjudicated in front of courts. It was adjudicated in this case, in the prior underlying case, not in this particular lawsuit on appeal. And those arguments did not get that far before that court. Regardless of whether they got that far, they were presented. The judge made findings on that. And Central Bank, who we're dealing with in this case, and WMC Mortgage in the other case, they did not come forward and contest priority in any way, shape, or form. There were many possibilities for why priority.
Well, my ultimate question is that decision legally correct? And if so, why?
I think that it is legally correct. And the reason for that is that there are a number of bases where it could have been found that Scotty's lien was prior. For example, if the Central Bank lien for some reason was defective, if there was a problem with it.
Was any evidence presented?
Not to my knowledge, there wasn't evidence presented, but not because there wasn't the opportunity to do so.
Here's the problem I have. The lawyer, when he's filing that complaint, signs that complaint, that says the court should find that Scotty's is prior to that earlier recorded deed of trust, has it have a reasonable basis based upon an investigation for making the claim. What would be the reasonable basis for making that claim in this complaint?
Well, that was an entirely separate action from this one, but
my question. Don't dodge it.
I'm not trying to dodge it. I do want to say it's a separate action. But in that separate action, what Scotty's did was file the complaint saying, hey, I need breach of contract against these homeowners. I need to foreclose on my lien. And as part of that, we need to determine priority. And I would love my lien to be in first prior position. At the point of filing a lawsuit.
Is that a reasonable basis for filing a complaint? I would love that result.
I don't think that that's the only basis. I think that there's a.
What facts were at least susceptible of proof to put Scotty's prior to a deed of trust recorded 2 years earlier?
At the point of filing the lawsuit, there might not have been a full level of proof related to priority.
There at least need to be some evidence to give a lawyer some reason to think he could prevail on that argument before signing that complaint?
Perhaps so, and there might have been. That might have been that the prior lien was defective, that the Central Bank lien, that the WMC liens, that there were problems related to those, They had given liens for...
Were there any allegations in the complaint about any defect to the prior deed of trust?
Not to my knowledge. There weren't in the complaint itself. And there was an opportunity for those to be litigated, except that Central Bank did not step in and litigate those.
On the face of the complaint, would a 12B6 motion by WMC have been successful?
You know, I'm not sure. I think that, are you referring to the prior lawsuit then?
I'm referring to the prior lawsuit. If you just looked at the allegations of the complaint, would a 12B6 motion by WMC have been successful?
I don't know if it would have been successful. I think WMC certainly could have tried that. I think that then Scotties could have come back with additional evidence.
What would Scotties have pointed to in the complaint to survive a 12B6 motion?
There's nothing particularly in the complaint that identified the defects with the WMC mortgage that I have seen.
I mean, even in our broadest interpretation of 12B6, you at least have to have an allegation. Don't you agree?
I do think there needs to be an allegation. I think the allegation is there when Scotty said...
When you come in with a motion for default and the complaint itself demonstrates that the plaintiff is not entitled to the relief requested, does the judge appropriately enter a default judgment?
I don't think so. I think that what happens in this other case is that Scotty's pled its complaint. The notice pleading, it went ahead and said, I want breach of contract, I want foreclosure, and I want to be prior. And then after that, it could have and proceeded with its lawsuit. Central Bank, WMC Mortgage, none of them stepped in to deal with the actual defenses or anything like that. They sat back and said, we aren't disputing priority here. We aren't getting involved at all.
Okay, I understand those arguments. What I find troubling is lawyers signing complaints requesting relief, which black letter law says they're not entitled to.
I understand that, Your Honor.
And I haven't heard any explanation for that.
Well, and I don't know that I'm going to have any more explanation than what I've given today about...
I'm not bothering you about that. I want to send a message to you that I'm... That's a very troubling aspect of these two cases to me.
I understand that, Your Honor.
You may proceed with the rest of your argument.
Going back to this particular case on appeal, what happened was that Scotty's did file a complaint to perfect its mechanics lien. It had a mechanics lien on the property back in 2007, or starting from its work in 2007, filed the mechanics lien in 2008, and to perfect that lawsuit, perfect the lien, had to file a lawsuit within 8 months, and did so in February of 2009. What Scotty's needed to do was look at the mechanics lien statute and figure out who needs to be defendants, and that's what it did. It went ahead and looked at RCW 61, or 60.04.171, which states that the interest in real property of any person who, prior to commencement of the action, had a recorded interest in the property shall not be foreclosed unless they're joined as a party. Looking at the public records, the only entity having an interest in that Central Bank deed of trust was Central Bank. So Scotty's
name... Counsel, I would suggest that the only reason to name a party who has a prior lien is to attempt to get priority. And I understand your argument that they had an interest in the property, but that ignores the question of how to adjudicate priority. So go ahead and proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. And so what happens is that now BNY Mellon is claiming that it should have been part of that lawsuit. Well, a couple problems there. One, first issue raised on appeal, not before the trial court at all, and under 12B and Rule of Appellate Procedure 9.12, that argument is not properly before this court. Their other argument is about MERS being named as a defendant, and the Washington Supreme Court in Bain in August of 2012 invalidated that argument and said MERS is not a beneficiary. MERS
Counsel,
does not need to
I
be
think
joined.
The central problem here is that the arguments made by your opponent exceed those made at the trial court. My reading of the record is that the only argument made below was that MERS was not made a party. And during the oral argument before the trial court, there was a lot of confusion about what MERS represented and whether how MERS fit into the assignment process. But there was no substantive argument in terms of what we're talking about now. So I think that's your best pitch.
Thank you, Your argument, or thank you, Your Honor. I entirely agree with that. And that's where BNY Mellon claimed before the trial court MERS should have had notice. There were a lot of documents presented to the trial court about that, but that argument has been resolved. Bain resolved that argument. MERS is not a beneficiary. MERS does not need to have notice because it's not a beneficiary. There has been no law, no support that MERS should have had notice, and because that was the only argument properly before the trial court, the only argument that should be considered on appeal, and that argument has been disproved by Bain, BNY Mellon doesn't have...
MERS can't be a beneficiary. What would be wrong with a provision in a deed of trust that says MERS is designated as the agent to receive notice on behalf of the beneficiary?
I don't believe the deed of trust says that. I don't think there would be anything wrong with it.
What would be wrong with that?
I don't think there would be something wrong if the deed of trust actually said that. The deeds of trust here, however, don't. Where they don't say that, there's not an obligation to go out and search and give notice to an additional party that's named a nominee, not a beneficiary. The Deed of Trust Act only talks about notice in terms of beneficiaries and naming defendants that are beneficiaries, not that are agents or that might otherwise be identified somewhere in the body of the Deed of Trust, and in this case where they were simply identified as a nominee. Scotties did name the actual beneficiary here, named Central Bank, the only entity with recorded interest, and that should be the end of the inquiry, and that's why BNY Mellon's appeal should fail. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. You had 5 minutes, as I recall, or requested 5 minutes. Okay.
There were primarily two arguments below. First was priority, and second was notice. The testimony about MERS was at CP pages 203 to 244, so there was very extensive information there by the moving party. It was then quoted in the response to the dismissal motion and discussed at pages CP 301 through 302. So it was clearly in the record. Now, we handed up a timeline as a demonstrative exhibit. One of the timelines was part of the supplemental brief on Bain. The second part of the timeline is sort of an explanation about why contractors join prior parties, prior mortgages or lenders. And
let me just stop you there. The people keep talking about mortgages. They're deeds of trust here. Deeds of trust are different from mortgages, and the terminology should be accurate for purposes of this case. Go ahead.
As far as clarification, in Bain, the Supreme Court said a deed of trust is a species
that,
of mortgage.
But we have deeds of trust here, so please refer properly to what we've got.
In the recording statute, it refers to mortgages and not deeds of trust. When a contractor files a suit, they have the option of joining prior deed of trust holders.
Well, they can even get priority over interests of record before their liens are recorded, provided they started work before the deed of trust became of record.
Right, and the second page of...
That's not our fact pattern.
That's true. So, but in this particular case, there was an intervening deed of trust, not one at issue, that permitted Scotties to leapfrog over that priority. But the purchase money mortgages at issue are not that kind of mortgage that can be wiped out. There's another kind of exception, which is when there's a construction mortgage, and this is not a construction mortgage.
We don't have a future advances problem here.
No. There is no allegation that there was some sort of agreement to subordinate the deed of trust. So that doesn't apply.
You can talk to us a lot about priorities and whatnot. It seems to me you ought to focus on explaining to us why the argument you want to advance here was presented to the trial court. We're having trouble finding any place in the record where the argument which you push hard here was made to the trial court.
Well, the argument that was made to the trial court is that MERS, as the grantee named twice in the title records as the grantee of the deed of trust slash mortgage and as the beneficiary slash nominee in the deed of trust was designated to be served with process because under the Recording Act.
They were designated to be served as process as nominee of the then beneficiary and all subsequent beneficiaries.
Correct.
The then beneficiary was actually named in the lawsuit and served.
That is wrong because the actual beneficiary by operation of law becomes whoever holds the note. And the established Washington law is an unrecorded assignment or transfer of the deed of trust slash mortgage note carries with it the transfer of the deed of trust slash mortgage.
Counsel, let me just... I'm sorry, go ahead, Judge.
Did you make that argument to the trial court?
No, that one was not made.
Let me just follow up on his question.
Yes.
Other than what you cited to us earlier in your argument and your brief, is there anything to support your claim that the arguments you're now making were made below?
Yes, Your Honor. In the very same testimony that is quoted in the record below by Bank of New York and was submitted by the moving party, it states the principle, the mortgage follows the note, and then goes on and explains why MERS is the designee for the purpose of service of process.
So the testimony is the argument that was made at the top court below?
There's testimony that was submitted in the motion for dismissal. The motion for dismissal, which is a 12B6 motion, refers to the testimony that's submitted by the moving party. In summary, you know, equity in the law abhor forfeiture, the mortgage is being forfeited, Scotty's is receiving a windfall, and Bank of New York is entitled to prove its senior mortgage. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The next matter.